Do you want to know what it's like to hang out with MS-13 in El Salvador? How the Russian mafia fought battles all over Brooklyn in the 1990s.
Well, what about that time I got lost in the Burmese jungle hunting the world's biggest meth lab? Or why the Japanese Yakuza have all those crazy dragon tattoos? I'm Sean Williams.
And I'm Danny Gold. And we're the host of the Underworld Podcast. We're journalists that have traveled all over, reporting on dangerous people and places. And every week, we'll be bringing you a new story about organized crime from all over the world.
We know this stuff because we've been there. We've seen it. And we've got the near misses and embarrassing tales to go with it. We'll mix in reporting with our own experiences in the field, and we'll throw in some bad jokes while we're at it.
The Underworld Podcast explores the criminal underworlds that affect all of our lives, whether we know it or not. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Crawl Space. I'm Tim, here today with Lance in the Crawl Space studios in Wormtown. Lance, how are you today?
Couldn't be better, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing well. And Lance, for this episode, we continue our series on the unsolved murder of Sheila Shepherd from Saratoga Springs, New York in 1980. And this is part two of our interview with Terry, Sheila's aunt, Terry.
Yep, November 1980, Sheila was found dead inside of her apartment on Church Street. She had been asphyxiated, and she was stabbed in the abdomen after she had died. That was post-mortem. It is Saratoga Springs' only unsolved murder, and Terry was actually present, not in the apartment. Her husband went into the apartment and discovered Sheila's body, but Terry was outside on the sidewalk with Sheila's mother. And since then, she's been a staunch advocate for justice in Sheila's case. And we were fortunate enough to have lunch with her. And then we went to Sheila's grave, and it was a really sobering moment.
And that part is coming up in the next episode in this series. So we hope you enjoyed this one, and go back and check out the rest of these if you haven't yet. I think that would be beneficial before you continue.
And if anybody out there, any of the listeners, have any information, or you know of somebody who might have information, please call the Saratoga Springs Police Department at 518-584-8477.
Was there any violence in the relationship between her and her, like anything that you knew of between her and her husband? When they're married and when they separated?
I can't say violence, but they were unhappy.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons was, you know, she was straight at the time, and he was smoking a lot of pot, and they had the baby, and he was drinking a lot, and she just couldn't take much more of it.
Yeah.
But I did end up with the baby.
After
yes.
the murder?
No, before, in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And then he came, he got out of the Army and came and got her. And he came up here and dropped her off at his parents.
Who live in
Whispering Saratoga. Pines,
Whispering
yeah.
Pines.
Whispering
yeah.
Pines.
Which they own.
Yeah.
Okay.
He thought that if he took... Oops, I didn't want to say her name. If he took her, he'd get her back.
Yeah.
But, it wasn't going to happen. So she came back, and I wanted my baby back. Mm-hmm. So she was trying to get a job and get her life straightened out.
We were just talking about the trunk with the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So you had brought it on Wednesday and left it outside for her outside of her apartment door
yeah.
to bring in. And then when you went there on...
Sunday. It was gone.
And you presume that she had brought it into
it in
her
the house.
Into her
yeah,
apartment.
Who's to say, I didn't even think of that somebody took them out of the trunk. But
right, that's what I'm... It's possible if
it
they're out
possible.
In like a common area and there's at least seven apartments there. I know she was apartment 7, so it's a bigger, mm-hmm. Bigger yeah. apartment complex. Why someone would want them, though?
The trunk wasn't locked, right? It didn't have a lock on it?
My God, I can't remember that.
Okay. And they were they in like a little box or in an envelope?
In an envelope.
Okay. It would. It just seems like such a weird thing to take
to
if
take.
You're going to take.
If you don't know.
What else was in that trunk? Clothes?
Clothes. Yeah, that would be more natural to take, I feel like.
Than someone's personal pictures, unless you have a weird thing about that.
Do you know, do you recall if she, I think you mentioned something about her photos in her apartment. Do you know for a fact that she did have them inside and had looked at them before?
She told her mother she had them.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was after Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I, you know, it would be just like her to go, you want to see my baby, and this is in California, and this is in Colorado, and...
Okay.
The only thing in her stomach, I think, was a piece of bubble gum.
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
We were talking about that. I didn't remember if they gotten back to you with stomach content analysis, like part of the autopsy.
Bubble gum.
That was it?
Yeah.
So she swallowed, she was chewing bubble gum and she swallowed it.
Yeah. So she hadn't eaten.
How long does it take to, like, digest food? I'm just trying to think of the last time she would have eaten.
Yeah. I don't know. Takes a long time.
I say bubble gum takes 7 years or something.
Yeah.
Bubble
something
gum.
Crazy.
Bubble gum's going to stay there.
Dummy and sticky ribs.
I don't know. They say...
Right.
They say we need dinner, dinner... Lunch pushes dinner, dinner pushes...
Yeah, I mean, so...
Most digestions are going to the intestines anyway, yeah. So I don't know how long it actually stays in the stomach.
Right.
Also broken down
I don't
by
know,
stomach
I've
acid.
Had enough tests to know that the following your intestines, the barium, it was 6 hours before they could get through the food digesting, so... She's probably on a diet and just wanted to chew some bubblegum.
Yeah.
Well, there was a thing, and I remember she had an article circled or something about some kind of diet or...
Yeah, right? That doesn't surprise me at all.
God.
She used to do...
The bubblegum diet.
Right.
She used to trick your brain all the time. Yeah. Seeing if she was, you know, if her fingers were swollen.
Really?
I don't know if it was you or somebody else was telling us that she was always trying to lose weight.
Always trying. You know, I don't know where she got it from. My sister was obsessed.
There was also, I think they found, like, what's the diet pill they used to sell in the 80s? They used to have all the little...
Like a stacker before that?
Used to be over the counter.
Yeah.
Dexatrim or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
That does not surprise me at all.
And then they found, like, a wrapper of packaging on her.
Okay.
Yep.
Do other people in your family share your beliefs about her ex-husband?
Well, my mother did.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, Annette and them were just too young to even...
Yeah.
Even form an opinion. But I don't know if any of them want to do a phone interview, but I don't think they knew her as well as I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to babysit when they first moved back. I babysat and I got $7 a week.
I know Jim Van Ness had told me, I don't want to speak for him if you guys want to talk, but he had mentioned the funeral as well. He's like, it was just, the way he acted, the Richard Shepherd act, he said was definitely very strange.
And
he's
like, suspect.
You know, he's like, that kind of raised some red flags for everyone. Just your murdered wife is, you know, is in the coffin, and I guess just not the way you would expect somebody to respond. But you never know; people respond different ways.
Yeah, to grief. But what did he do? What was he acting like?
I remember again. Like Jim could tell you better. He was, you know, he was there, and I wasn't. But
My mother put her arm around him, and he had on not a winter coat, just a corduroy sports coat. She said his back was just soaking wet.
Sweat.
Yeah, so he must have been very, very nervous. And then, of course, the casket was open for us to look at her. It was very important for Chuck to see her because of the condition he saw. And when he looked, he kind of said, I didn't think it'd be like this. And then he said, I'm going to go get some flowers. I'll see you in a little while. And he never came back.
What did you guys think of that when he said, I didn't think it was going to be like this?
Well, it's just kind of an odd thing to say. It's not going to be pretty, no matter. I mean, people can say, gee, they looked good, but they don't.
They don't, right, yeah.
You know, there were some marks, because she died of asphyxiation, there were marks on her face. And they did a remarkable job, considering that, you know, she was there for quite a while.
Was it odd that Richard had his brother with him? I remember Jim said that he thought that Richard's brother was kind of trying to shield him from everybody else. I don't know if that...
I don't remember his brother being there.
Yeah, I remember he said something like kind of doing interference, kind of getting in between him and everybody else.
Yeah, he just said that's the way that it seemed to him was that the brother was kind of trying to keep him from having to, I don't know, answer questions or deal too much with it. But, you know, like I said, too, you don't know how people deal with grief or all of them are in their own way.
And they're also estranged at the time, so maybe they thought maybe...
Wasn't there a letter from him thrown in the trash can? Was there a letter from him?
No, that was to the guy that she'd been talking to in Colorado. That she'd written, what it looked like was that she'd started writing a letter a couple different times, rip it up, start writing it again, not like how it sounds, or, you know, but that was, that was somebody out in Boulder that Tom Mitchell and Lieutenant King went out and talked to out
He called there. He called me about 11 o'clock one night, and he goes, nobody will talk to us. I'm like, really? So I gave him a name of somebody that worked for the, like, NIMO. I said, go see him. He'll give you names. He'll give you addresses. See if you can find
somebody.
Yeah. He goes, I can't find anybody. So that helped. So he could track down some people.
What was this letter that this was found in her trash?
Yes. It looks kind of like it was the same letter, but written a couple different times, and, you know, ripped up and then discarded in the trash can.
I'm paraphrasing, but in one of the letters that she even writes, I've written this letter about 8 times. I keep tearing it up.
Oh, okay.
You know, so she's like, I'm writing this letter and I keep tearing this thing up. I'm probably gonna tear this one up, and she would tear it up. They picked all that stuff out of the waste paper basket. Pieced it back together. Yeah. So,
and it was to a man?
Just to a guy out in Colorado.
Do you remember his name?
Not off the top of my head. That's it.
Did she ever finish a letter and write it to him? I mean, send it to him?
I don't know
if there was a whole letter that was mailed out or not.
Not that we know of.
They did talk to him.
Right.
Mitchell
that was their main... their main focus when they were going out to Colorado. Do you remember him from when she was out there?
I do.
Boyfriend of hers?
He was briefly a boyfriend. She had a few.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie.
And then he was quickly eliminated as a suspect.
Yeah, they weren't going out that long.
Yeah, in Colorado at the time. There was a couple other, I just remember, weird characters from the case file from the Colorado time, and she was like seeing a cop who was then indicted by the FBI for...
Oh, I think he ripped me off.
Yeah.
I'm sure...
Stole from you?
Yeah. Everything was taken, and who would know? I think they were getting off the subject, but who would know? I wasn't going to be home that night. Sheila and this ex-cop. Wasn't he a cop?
I think he went to prison. He was. They went out and talked to some informant or somebody. Said he's a cop, but he's ripping off drug dealers. Apparently other people, perhaps.
Well,
and I think he got.
I was married to a drug dealer.
Was he?
Not at the time, but he knew. He knew it was in the house. You know, there were some nice antiques and stuff like that. Did anybody ever talk to him?
Yeah, they talked to him, and I want to say he ended up getting arrested. It's like during a robbery. They were robbing some place or something after he'd been fired as a police officer. And then he was in custody at the time. I'm pretty sure he went away for quite a while.
But not considered a suspect in this.
No, but just, an odd, kind of
character
to come across that.
She
certainly
made.
What's he capable of.
Mm.
Yep.
What else was in the trash?
Nothing really of substantial, you know, or evidentiary value. Again, you'd have to ask Tom Mitchell why that letter was as focused in on as it was.
Yeah.
But I think just because he seemed like the closest thing to a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I think she mentions in there, you know, I want to come back out to Colorado or you to come here.
I don't think he was as interested in her as she was in him. Did they wipe everything off in the apartment? Was there any other fingerprints besides Chuck's?
Oh, I don't know. You'd have to. I'm not sure how they processed it at the time. We still have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I told you.
Yeah.
But what we were told at the time was that somebody took the time and effort to wipe glasses off that were sitting on the table, and that there weren't any other fingerprints but Chuck's on the window and Chuck's on the lock.
No, I'd never heard that. But there's also a lot of things that I've heard before even working on this case, just living in town, that once you start working on it, like, well, that's more legend than fact.
How often did you go to her apartment? Because you were only there 10 days.
I was only here 10 days.
So
dropped the trunk off.
And you were never actually in the apartment when you dropped the trunk off, right?
No.
Okay.
The door was locked.
Yeah. But you had been in her apartment before?
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
I was in it when it was Mrs. Ladd's. The old lady we used to bring holy water to. I grew up right next door.
Oh, so you'd been in there before?
Yes,
she
had been in there before.
Oh, okay.
I always thought it was kind of a spooky building.
It's got a look to it.
Yeah.
It's
almost
like an Amityville
house. It was very scary.
Did you look at the pictures that were in the trunk?
Yeah.
Were there any pictures of, like, her exes or...
Her, the baby, Shep.
Yeah.
California, because that's where they were. Those were the pictures. Pictures of, like, her life up to that point.
Okay.
Any other boyfriends or guys in those pictures that you recall?
Mm-mm.
No. Any other women she was close to that you know?
Not that I know of, but I guess there's that one girl.
Yeah, I don't... It was...
We don't know.
Like I talked about before, that was one of those theories where the killer have been a woman?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any other friends that you might have talked about another relationship with?
That girl from Worldwide.
Yeah.
Patricia?
Yes. She's the one that came looking.
Right, that had gone to the teacher and sent to the house, her and another student.
She left a note in the mailbox.
I'm not sure about
that. Yeah, I remember hearing something.
That?
Yeah, it was a letter or something. That
where are you?
I remember hearing something. I don't know how, though, I heard it.
And it was another woman that Patricia went with?
Went to Worldwide. To the school.
Yeah,
and she was sent
since
back.
Since passed away.
Okay.
The second, not Patricia, Patricia we talked to. She was local as well. We went and talked to her. But, yeah, they went on Monday, hear the radio, no response.
The radio
go back to
a,
class, and then Tuesday.
Something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And then on Tuesday, when they go now a second day, she hasn't come to school, and they tell this teacher at Worldwide, who was the one that was concerned enough that she called, I guess, Marcia.
Mm-hmm. Marcia came to me.
The radio, you said, when you went in there, you only heard it from inside the building
itself.
Yeah,
it wasn't real loud. I mean, you got up
outside
to her apartment, and you could hear that the radio was on, but it wasn't, like, loud in there as I can remember. It was just something that struck you. If nobody's in there, why is the radio on? I know she wouldn't leave it on.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that there were fingerprints taken from, like, the radio knobs or dials.
Yeah, I can't really... can't say.
Yeah.
You know, you hear all kinds of things after the fact,
yeah,
too. Like the cop got sick, and which I don't know if it's true or not.
Which... Oh, at the scene, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I wasn't...
I would have.
Yeah.
You know, those things don't happen in Saratoga.
I was just going to say that's something that they had never seen
before.
No. Yeah.
I mean, you've had transients sometimes turn up in the park or...
Sure, how we get
in
our...
August or something, but not somebody in their apartment.
We get our share of
dead people like yes. any other city, but yeah, not city, yeah. so yeah. much murdered.
No, murdered.
Dead people.
I know her husband, you said, was an alcoholic, but was he a neat person, like fastidious?
I don't know. I met him. They were on their way back from Germany, so I was living in Colorado, but my husband and I had split up, and so I came back here, and then I heard she was coming, so I stayed a little bit longer, and then I went to Colorado, and they said, well, we're not going that way because, you know, it's out of the way, and she called me from about a block away. We're right here. They came and stayed. That's really the first time I met him was when they got back from Germany. He seemed like a nice guy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Did you, so you never got a bad feeling from him or anything?
No.
What branch of the military was he in?
Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had Sheila smoked from an early age?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming it's the 80s, like...
Yes, her mother smoked, you know, her father smoked. It was just something you did, not thinking.
She have a particular brand that she's...
Marlboro.
Marlboro's?
Yeah, she tried to quit. She tried to quit in Colorado. And so, you know, everybody's sleeping. You can hear her in the middle of the night going through the ashtrays and the trash cans. I'm like, Sheila,
oh, no.
You can't do this. You're going to have to go get a pack of cigarettes tomorrow.
Did her husband smoke too?
Yeah.
He must have. He was in the army. They both smoked Marlboros.
She smoked Marlboros. I don't know what he smoked. I smoked Merit Menthols. She didn't want mine.
what were the menthols back then?
Mine was Merit.
Merit. Okay.
Or they had these Eves. I thought, oh, those are pretty because they had flowers around the top. Hey, let me have one of these. I never smoked a lot. But I remember her listening to Pink Floyd with the headphones on. Well, she was 5'7".
She was 5'7"?
She was 5'7". She's living with me, and I'm trying to yell at her because she went to my husband's going away party. I can never forget it. She's just laughing. I'm like, you gotta stop laughing because I'm really mad.
Was she tough?
No, she was just laughing. No, she wouldn't hurt a fly. Mm-hmm. I can still hear her laughing at me. Don't you do that again.